The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. We made it to a Monday. Oh, my goodness. Welcome to it. It is the 13th of December. And here we are. It's just 12 days away from Christmas. Can you imagine? Okay, you're getting here. Everybody's trickling in a little late today. It's okay. I was late too. You know, I did an event this weekend, an arts crafts fair in Sunrise, Florida, to show my paintings. And I got to tell you, I mean, people loved them. My booth was always busy and lots of questions and lots of oohs and ahs and a lot of people taking my flyers and saying, oh, we got to get one of these, a custom pet portrait. But I think I sold $40 worth of stuff at the event. And then I bought this dress for $20, and spent the other $20 on food. So, you know, I broke even, kind of, sort of. Anyway, for a moment. So I just put some pictures back up on the wall behind me. I was getting ready to go on the air and I realized, oh no, I have no artwork behind me on the wall because everything was packed up because I had it out at this event on Saturday. So I just ran out into the living room, grabbed a few of them and threw them on the wall behind me. But let me just take a moment to say once again that a wonderful, wonderful holiday gift for the animal lovers on your list is a custom pet portrait. And granted, there's only 12 days till Christmas, so there wouldn't be time to get one done. But it's even better. I have gift certificates available. So if you're interested in giving one of these wonderfully personal guests gifts to somebody, send me an email, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. You can set up a time to talk. We'll figure out what you want. I will put together a lovely gift certificate that I will email to you, that you can print out and present it. And there you go. And then when your loved one gets their gift, I work with them on painting the portrait of their pet. So it's a collaborative effort. As people will tell you who've had them done by me, dog or cat. I don't know. All I have is a picture and your description of the animal. And so I send you photographs along the way and ask you, what did I get wrong? What needs fixing? And the more information you give me, the better the painting comes out because I fix all the details. Anyway, still plenty of time to get a gift certificate. So do that. Okay. All right. So, you know, we do not have a guest today. Let's say that right off the bat. It's just us. It's you and me, and the phone lines are open. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. 954-889-6410 is the number. Or if you're on Skype, you can Skype to Nicole Sandler. So anything, but I've got a slew of stories of things that happened like last week that I didn't get to, things that happened this week, things that, you know, that we should talk. I mean, we can start right off the back. Yeah. Long Shot Louis said, check out the Benedict Cumberbatch movie, The Electrical Life of Lewis Wayne. Somebody that I met at this event on Saturday mentioned to me about this Cumberbatch movie where he plays the guy who popularized house cats. Is that what this is, Long Shot Louis? The Electrical Life of Lewis Wayne. Hold on, I'm going to write that down. If that's what it is, because you will be the second person who mentioned that to me, of Lewis Wayne. All right, I will check into that. Anyway, we can start off with the breaking news this morning. You know how, like last year, the question about who was going to be Time Magazine's Person of the Year was like a big, I was going to say news, but it wasn't news at all. It was big hype. And it was hype because the idiot who, you know, was going to be leaving office soon only wanted to be named Time Magazine's Person of the Year because he's an idiot and didn't get the memo. And he's not the only one. I feel like I have to explain this every year when people are invariably pissed off about who was picked as Time Magazine's Person of the Year. And well, this, you know, so the criteria, what it is based on, it is not an award. You don't go home with a trophy that says, I was named Time Magazine's Person of the Year, because it's not an honorarium. It's nothing. It's not that at all. The way, and it's been going on for how many years? A lot of years. The way it works is it's simply the individual or group who most shaped the events of the previous 12 months for better or for worse. So Adolf Hitler was man of the year back then. Back then it was man of the year. Now it's person of the year, and it doesn't actually have to be a person. It can be an individual or a group or an organization. One year it was the whistleblowers, right? But think about what happened this year. Now, last year, of course, was COVID, right? But 2021 was COVID too. So that was part of it. What else happened this year? Let's see. We got Trump out of office and Biden came in. You would think maybe the new president, but no. Who else influenced the news this year? Who had the most impact on the news, for better or for worse? You thinking? Because I'm thinking. Here's one. Oh, did I pull this picture or not? Damn it. I thought I did. Of course, I didn't put it up on my board here. Let me see if I can find it real fast. I would say, you know, you look at the events, the most newsworthy event of the year. Well, it's probably split. One would be the withdrawal from Afghanistan, right? But even more than that, what affected us in this nation more than anything else, perhaps even, you know, with future ramifications. Anyone? I'm looking in the chat room. I don't see anybody weighing in on that. I would say January 6th. I mean, we had the biggest attempted coup on our nation. Yes, Dave?
Dolly Parton, she donated money to get a vaccine.
Yeah, but you know what? She donated $1 million and it was not... No, David said Dolly Parton, she donated, you know, money to get a vaccine. But no, sorry. I mean, that was a very benevolent move on her part, but it's not all that. It took more than $1 million, frankly, to, you know, get this vaccine funded and researched. I'm not poo-pooing her contribution. It was important, but that doesn't make her person of the year. No, but I would say the, you know, January 6th, I would say had a major, major effect on everything that's happening going forward from that point. Right. So maybe Officer Goodman, right? That officer who did change the course of history, because if he hadn't led those insurrectionists, and there's no other word for them, away from the entrance to the Senate. Remember, they were, if they had gone to the right, they would have gone into the Senate chamber, which is where all those senators still were. And Officer Goodman taunted them and got them to follow him in the opposite direction, thereby leading them away from the Senate chamber, right? Remember this guy here? I'm putting the picture up for those of you watching video. This guy, Officer Goodman, I say would have been a perfect person of the year, because think about it. If he hadn't have led them down that hallway in the Capitol building away from the entrance to the Senate, blood could have been shed there. I mean, anything could have happened. So, you know, it's hard to prove a negative, like they prevented something from happening. But I think he prevented something from happening. And maybe then also, you know, all the Capitol police who, without the tools of their trade, without the necessary reinforcements, also protected the symbol of the U.S. government, the U.S. Capitol building, and all those members of Congress, right? I would say Officer Goodman would be a great choice. But no. You know who Time Magazine named the person of the year? And again, it's not an honorarium. It's not a thing like, ooh, this is the best person in the world. But still, change affected the course of events in the past 12 months more than anyone else. What do you think? Elon Musk. Elon Musk? Are you kidding me? Elon Musk? Okay, so he's the richest man in the world, which kind of makes me wonder a little bit. Why? I mean, he's got more money than the oil sheikhs in the Middle East. I don't understand. But Elon Musk, I just don't get it. I don't understand that at all. Why? Because this year was the year that the billionaires decided they wanted to go into space. Elon Musk? It's like a non sequitur. This is Time Magazine showing their irrelevance, I think. I'm just astounded. And I think that, well, with doing this, then they've rendered the Time Magazine's Person of the Year to be an afterthought. Does anybody think that that's... I mean, again, it's not to honor somebody who was like the best person of the year, but I don't think Elon Musk affected the course of news over the last 12 months more than anybody or anything else. Do you? That's just weird. And he's just weird. And not that I don't usually have anything against weird people. I tend to embrace them. You know, the stranger, the better. But really? I mean, this guy is celebrated. Don't we celebrate rich people enough in this country? I would name someone person. You know what? What's her name? Mackenzie Bezos, Jeff Bezos's ex-wife, who's given away billions to charity, billions that she got in her divorce from the other richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos. Oh, these are two treats of human beings, aren't they? Yeah, it just made it pointless. I'm just stunned. As if Elon Musk needs any more attention, Melissa just wrote in the chat room. I just don't get it. So, all right, so there's that. That happened. It's not getting a lot of play because, again, I think people are going, what? Do we need to call more attention to the wealthiest people on the planet? Maybe they deserve all kinds of awards. If, like Mackenzie Bezos, they'd give most of it away. Because these people, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and what's his name at Virgin, they have more money than they and their successors will be able to spend in their lifetimes. Share the wealth, man. Share the wealth, right?
Come on, man.
Come on, man. All right. So that's one thing I wanted to talk about that's crossed off my list. I need to sing some praises. The best news that I heard all weekend came on I think it was yesterday. And this is just awesome. And Gavin Newsom, governor of California, showed why the voters of California retained him. You know, there was a recall effort this year. Thankfully, it went down. Because can you imagine Larry Elder? Larry Elder, a right-wing hate talk radio host. I used to work in the same building as him in Los Angeles. Miserable little fucker. And he garnered around 10% of the vote. But the way California's recall laws work, he could have been made governor. Thankfully, the people of California didn't go for that. They said, no can do now. I can't go for that. So they kept him. And Gavin Newsom proved why this weekend. I'm just going to read to you from the New York Times. Okay. And I'm reading from the New York Times instead of the LA Times because I subscribe to the New York Times for my work. So there you go. I have it. Here's the article from yesterday. Angered by the U.S. Supreme Court decision to continue allowing private citizens to sue Texas abortion providers, Governor Gavin Newsom of California on Saturday called for a similar law, giving ordinary residents legal standing to file lawsuits against purveyors of restricted firearms. Yeah! Mr. Newsom tweeted, quote, SCOTUS is letting letting private citizens in Texas sue to stop abortion? If that's the precedent, then we'll let Californians sue those who put ghost guns and assault weapons on our streets. Ooh. If Texas can ban abortion and endanger lives, California can ban deadly weapons of war and save lives. And I just have one thing to say to Mr. Newsom. Thank you, sir. This is awesome. I'll just keep reading from the article. The governor's response seemed to contradict his earlier criticism of the Texas law, which Mr. Newsom had previously described as a cynical attempt to undercut federal rights. Well, it is. But what Mr. Newsom has done here is show that two can play this game. They want to do this, and the Supreme Court wants to allow this clearly unconstitutional vigilante provision in this law to continue while they let the providers challenge this unconstitutional law. So Gavin Newsom is saying, okay, so that you're allowing this to go forward, we can use it too. And it's awesome. In a statement released on Saturday evening, Mr. Newsom said he had instructed his staff to work with California's legislature and attorney general to write a bill that would let citizens sue anyone who, quote, manufactures, distributes, or sells an assault weapon or ghost gun kits or parts in California. The governor called for damages of at least $10,000 per violation, plus costs and attorney's fees. Interesting. That's exactly how the Texas abortion law works. Go figure. In the statement, Mr. Newsom continued, if the most efficient way to keep these devastating weapons off our streets is to add the threat of private lawsuits, we should do just that. The governor's response seemed to explicitly position California opposite Texas in the divisive battles over abortion rights and gun control, and to position him personally on a national front in the culture wars. And I say, hell yeah. Diane Russell in the chat room just says, but Howie thinks Newsom is a horrible governor. And I will bring this up to Howie on Thursday, because this is worth everything. Everything. I love it. So, you know, what happens now? The Supreme Court can't say, well, they can't do that. That's unconstitutional. They set the precedent, right? They're letting this Texas abortion law go forward, clearly unconstitutional. It's in Texas, Joe Schmo on the street corner can simply say, I think that girl is pregnant, and I think that man is helping her to go to a clinic to get an abortion, so I'm going to sue all of them. He has no standing in the matter. Isn't that the legal term, standing? He has nothing to do with any of these people, yet that Texas law lets him do this. It's a vigilante provision. And clearly unconstitutional, but this Supreme Court, with three seats stolen by the former guy, with an assist from Mitch Turtle McConnell, made it so. Our democracy is broken. And good for Gavin Newsom, because I've heard it described as a stunt. Yeah, damn right it's a stunt. It's an effective as hell stunt. Let me go back to this article. It's great, because this will get media attention. It will get people talking, and it's a total fuck you to the Supreme Court justices who let stand, at least temporarily, a clearly unconstitutional law. Back to the New York Times. The governor's vow to use California courts against gun violence followed the Supreme Court's decision on Friday to let stand Texas's ban on most abortions. The law allows, here we go, private citizens to sue anyone who aids or abets an abortion performed after a fetal heartbeat can be detected. That development typically occurs around 6 weeks and often before women realize they're pregnant. But let me chime in here. That's not a heartbeat. It's an electrical impulse. It's an electrical pulse. And I know that our heart, you know, operates, it beats in with an electrical charge. And I know that because I had a thing happen a few years ago. I had a supraventricular something. And it basically, they had to reshock my heart to get it back on a regular rhythm. It's an electrical pulse. And that's what it is at 6 weeks. It's not a heartbeat. At 6 weeks, a fetus is not even a fetus. It's a zygote. It's a tiny little thing. It's probably undetectable by the human eye. Certainly not viable. And that's what the Supreme Court ruled on back in Roe v. Wade, when they said at the point of viability, up until the point of viability where the fetus can live outside of the mother's womb, up until that point, it's part of your body, women. You have the right to do with it as you choose. And nobody can make you carry something in your body for 9 months that you don't want. You know, many years ago, back in the olden days, you know, when I used to guest host for Randy Rhoads, I kind of got in trouble 1 year. Not really in trouble, but I offended some listeners because we were talking about abortion rights, because one of these cases was up before the Supreme Court. I believe. Actually, there hasn't been a real challenge to abortion in the Supreme Court in many, many years. So it must have been just, the Republicans talking about killing Roe. I had mentioned the whole viability thing. And I said, actually, you know, a zygote and then a fetus in those early, certainly in the first trimester, It's a parasite. It lives off the mother. It cannot live without the mother. It's a parasitic being that lives only because the mother lives. If the mother wasn't living, that being inside her, which is certainly not a baby or a child. A baby is after it's born. Before that, it's a fetus. But then it's a baby. It's not a child until it's like four, because it's an infant, and then it's a toddler, and then it's a child. When they talk about unborn children, my head wants to explode, because they're not children. So anyway, I went off and did a whole rant one day about how, you know, a fetus is a parasitic being living off the mother, the host. And oh my goodness, even some real, you know, professed liberals got mad at me. Well, you know what? Tough. Too bad. That's how I feel. So this whole 6 week thing is nonsense. But you know what? With this Supreme Court, it's probably going to be law. So Gavin Newsom, I tip my hat to him. I am now a huge fan. Yes, the fetus is a socialist, Thomas Garrett. You're absolutely right. Tachycardia. That's what it was, Dar. Thank you. Supraventricular tachycardia. That's what I had. And yes, to get me, my heart rate was like through the roof. It was just, and funny because I had dropped David off. He was going on a business trip. Dropped him off at the airport. And on my way home, I started feeling really weird. And I thought, oh shit, I think I'm having a heart attack. And that's what it turned out to be, supraventricular tachycardia. And that's how I learned that it's an electrical pulse that regulates your heartbeat or something like that. I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on the radio. All right, so that's that story. My favorite story of the month so far. And Gavin Newsom has newfound respect coming from me, and I hope a lot of other people. So we'll see what happens to this. Because this is the, yes.
And weren't you on the air with Juliana Forlano while you were having...
Yeah, David said, weren't I on the air with Julie? So I dropped you off at the airport, and I drove home, and Juliana Forlano at the time was doing a radio show, I think on WBAI, and I was scheduled to go on with her. And I know what it's like when somebody cancels on me at the last minute. It really sucks. And so I was feeling weird. And I thought, well, let me just get through the interview with Juliana. And then I'll go to the hospital, which I did. So I'm talking to Juliana. Yes.
And then you send me a text while I'm on the other side of the continent saying, call me. Everything's okay.
I'm in the hospital, but I'm okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
And they did keep me overnight. So, yes, Juliana will tell you. I put off going to the hospital thinking I'm in the middle of a heart attack because I was booked on her show and I didn't want to screw her over. And David was out of town, and yeah, so I did. I texted him. I'm like, don't worry, I'm okay, but I'm in the hospital. The second time, that was the first time and it wasn't a heart attack. It was just a supraventricular tachycardia. The second time was the day when I thought I was, when I was still working up in Delray Beach with Randy, and we were not getting along. We were not getting along. And I know, look, I can be tough. I can be wicked tough. I can be a bitch and the bitch from hell, but I got nothing on her. And so it was one of those days, and she was all over my case for something. And I driving home, and I'm just not feeling well, and I'm upset. And by the time I got home, it's about a 30-minute drive from the studio to here. David had like dinner ready, and I said, I'm not hungry. I really don't feel well. I'm going to lie down. And then I laid down for a while, and I must have fallen asleep, and I woke up just drenched. And I said, okay, I think I'm having a heart attack. And then we went to the hospital, and that's when they found the mass on my lung that turned out to be lung cancer. So things happen for a reason. Anyway, that got me in a roundabout thing there. How did I even get on that subject? Oh, yeah. Yes, I do drink lots of water. Let the sun shine through. Thank you. So anyway, but that it all goes back to the viability question. Boy, that I went round and round to get there. So the Gavin Newsom story. Yeah, I needed to hit on that. And that was just so, so good. See, I need to balance out the bad stories with the good, because we all know what happened over the weekend with these tornadoes. So a swarm of tornadoes goes through five states. And now it looks like Kentucky was the hardest hit, where that candle factory was. And workers were working in the middle of the night when the storms hit. And right now, I think the governor of Kentucky said that the death toll stands somewhere at around 105 people. They thought it was going to be a lot worse than that. Whatever. We have destroyed this planet. And I'll say we, even though I'm on the tail end of the baby boomers, but it's my generation who did this. We didn't do anything to fix the problem, to reverse it. And we still don't. You still have people like Joe Manchin saying, well, I don't like these climate provisions in the Build Back Better bill because I have a fortune invested in coal. And that's what it's about, don't you know? That is exactly what it's about. And, well, let me share this with you, because this just crossed the wire a little while ago, and this hasn't gotten a lot of news coverage, and I'm hoping it does. But, again, I saw the article about an hour or so ago. And, well, these people should not be allowed to serve in Congress anymore. Do you know what story I'm going to next? Let me read to you the headline. 14 members of Congress named and shamed for allegedly violating Stock Act. The Stock Act is short for Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge. That's the Stock Act. And they passed this just a few years ago because we've all seen it, right? How many times have you seen, let's take Kyrsten Sinema, for example. She was she worked her way up through this Texas State Senate in the legislature and eventually got into Congress and then ran for the Senate and inexplicably won a seat in the U.S. Senate. So can you explain to me how this woman is a multimillionaire today? It happens over and over and over again in the United States Congress. These members get elected without two dimes to rub together. And just a few years later, they're riding high.
Arizona.
Did I say Texas? Oh, Arizona. Sorry. Sometimes I just go and I don't even know what I said, obviously. So it happens over and over again. So it was just a few years ago. I don't remember exactly when, but they passed this law. Look at Nancy Pelosi. Look at Dianne Feinstein. And they're like, well, her husband is, I don't give a shit. There's no reason Dianne Feinstein should be worth, should be a multi-millionaire or any member of Congress. They make money by using insider knowledge to trade in the stock market and make themselves rich. And then they write the laws to their financial benefit. So they passed this Stock Act a few years ago. Stop trading on congressional knowledge. And today, 14 of them have been named for allegedly violating this by failing to properly disclose their financial trading. There were 6 Democrats and 8 Republicans, so it's almost evenly split, named this morning. They are, you ready? I should do the drum roll again. Congressman Pat Fallon of Texas, Republican. Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, Democrat. Congressman Lance Gooden of Texas, Republican. Congresswoman Diana Harshbarger of Tennessee, Republican. Congressman Kevin Hearn of Oklahoma, Republican. Congressman Chris Jacobs of New York, Republican. Congresswoman Susie Lee of Nevada, a Democrat. Representative Tom Malinowski of New Jersey, a Democrat. Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, I wouldn't expect anything less of him, a Democrat. Representative Dan Moeser, M-E-U-S-E-R, Republican from Pennsylvania. Blake Moore, Republican congressman from Utah. Congressman Kim Schreier, Democrat from Washington. Tom Suozzi, Democrat from New York. And Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama. Boy, he's new and he wasted no time in, you know, breaking the laws and getting on in there. So they were all House members except for Dianne Feinstein and Tommy Tuberville. Send them home. That should be, it should be an automatic, you're booted, you're gone, you're out of Congress if you violate the Stock Act or any other law for that matter, Matt Gaetz. Why is Matt Gaetz still in Congress? Oh, but it gets better. Wait, an additional 113 lawmakers were rated as borderline by Insider's Stock Act investigation, meaning that their financial dealings were judged to require more scrutiny. All right. Separately, Insider, I don't even know what Insider is. It's some news organization. Separately, Insider reported that 75 lawmakers traded stock in companies that made COVID-19 vaccines, treatments, or tests as the pandemic spread over the past 2 years. Is anybody else as disturbed by this as I am? Phone lines are open, 954-889-6410, or you can Skype in to Nicole Sandler. Someone's on the line from 775 area code. Hi, who's this? Hello? Hello? All right. The 775 area code person doesn't want to talk to me. Are you there? One ringy dingy. No? Okay. I can hear somebody, but oh well. That's okay. If you want to call in, those phone lines are open. Mr. Bird in the YouTube chat room said, I asked Santa for a Matt Gaetz indictment for Christmas. Yes, and Lisi D, Representative Maloney is head of the DCCC. Isn't that so? That is so. Sean Patrick Maloney, who has been named in shame for violating the Stock Act, he should lose his position not only as head of the DCCC, but as a member of Congress. Seriously. Yes, and Dan Marceau said, Tommy Tuberville, got elected without knowing the three branches of government. That's true. He didn't understand that the judicial branch was a branch of government. I think he said the White House, the House, and the Senate as the three branches, something like that. Yes, David has a comment. Yes?
Rather than call in, I figured I would walk in.
Good idea.
So I wanted to address something that actually happened last week.
Okay.
Your listener, I don't remember her name, but she said that Biden had lied to the
Yes,
black community.
In fact, I'm glad you brought her up, because that was Tina Lulu. And in fact, Tina had another comment on what she's doing is commenting on the YouTube videos. And what she said the other day, she brought up, you know, things that, you know, what she's disillusioned with about Joe Biden. The fact that here. I'm just finding her comment here again. She's things that he could have done, because she clarified this in the comment she made yesterday, that these are things he could have done by executive order or without Congress that he hasn't gotten done. $15 an hour minimum wage, healthcare public option, criminal justice reform dead, no student debt forgiveness, voting reform, decriminalization of marijuana. Now, I don't agree that he could have done all that just by himself, but and now go ahead. I wanted to refresh people on what she said, and now your issue.
My concern was, like Susan Collins, I'm concerned. my concern was her original comment was that Joe Biden had lied to the black community.
Yep.
And like yourself, I'm not the biggest Joe Biden fan, but as my father used to say about the candidates back in his day, he may be a bastard, but he's our bastard.
Okay.
So, okay. With that on the table, I don't know that Joe lied. I think he had intentions of living up to all of those
promises. I think
that Manchin, Sinema, and the other powers that are arrayed against him have kind of cut him off at the knees. He's really limited. He's handcuffed by these assholes who will not permit him to get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to stand here and say he's the second coming of FDR.
No, he's not. Not even close.
Not at all. Not at all. But nonetheless, I think that he had good intentions. Unfortunately, we know what happens with good intentions.
Yeah. That's a great Lyle Lovett song, by the way, called Good Intentions. And it basically tells that same story. Had good intentions, but you know. So all right. So anyway, but I do want to share with you what Tina wrote yesterday. Let me just find her latest comment here. Mom, if I can find it, because we've had a few other. She said, "Hi Nicole, listen to the show in regards to my original comments, though I agree with you and Howie to some extent. Remember, this is what he said. Remember all the things that David Dayan in his publication, The American Prospect, cited that could be Biden's day one agenda. Many of the things that I cited were on purpose. These policies can be enacted without without congressional approval. Many promises can be accomplished with the existing presidential powers. Knowing this is why I'm so angry and frustrated. Trump and W used presidential powers to get the worst things done unilaterally, but Biden refuses to use his existing powers for good and for positive change. Biden also continues cruel Trump immigration era policies. Trump era immigration policies. We women are losing reproductive freedoms. He won't push for filibuster reform to get anything done, and that is on him. He can threaten Putin, but not Manchin and Sinema. Not buying it. They are his useful excuses. Biden told his corporate overlords that, quote, nothing would fundamentally change, and he meant it. So that's the comment from Tina Lulu. And she's making good points. Look, I'm not arguing anybody. And I think it's our responsibility to call this stuff out, but not with the intention of killing Joe Biden, figuratively speaking. I'm not talking about murdering anybody. We don't do that. But making him better. You know, people used to bitch that I criticized Barack Obama all the time. And going back to Randy, when I used to fill in on Randy's premiere radio show, because I was critical of Obama, not because I hated him, because I wanted him to succeed. So I call out what they're doing wrong. I think that's my responsibility. If I'm going to take on this role of being a critic of, you know, the powers that be, I need to be able to be a critic and say what I believe they're doing wrong. I think that's the responsibility of every concerned citizen. Not to do it in a malicious manner, but we do it because we care, because we want them to do better. All right, our caller from the 775 area code appears to be back. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. Hi, Nicole. Yeah, I had the same take on the Time Magazine Person of the Year. I got a kick out of that.
Who is who are you? What's your name?
Vince.
Vince.
I'm Vince from Carson City, Nevada.
Oh, okay.
From New Jersey.
I got you. Hi, Vince. All right. Thank you. It's okay. So now keep going. I know who I'm talking to.
Okay, yeah, that the Time Person of the Year, the person that I was thinking of, because, you know, the Time Person of the Year is global, not national thing.
Well,
so I was thinking.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so I was thinking of Greta Thunberg.
Thunberg is how it's pronounced, yeah, because she's okay. Danish, I believe, or where's she? Swedish. Although I don't know what she did this year specifically that would put her in there. If, you know, the big COP26 had some spectacular outcome and we were all of a sudden going to be saving the planet, actually, because of work she did, I would say, yeah, that's the perfect choice. But again, it's about the person or organization who most influenced the course of the news over throughout the year. I don't think that's Elon Musk. I don't think it's Greta Thunberg either, though she does deserve an honor. Yeah. And again, Person of the Year is not that.
Yeah, yeah. But certainly more so than Elon Musk. I found that. I
right?
really laughed at that.
I know.
I couldn't believe that. Yeah. No, your take. Actually, we're in sync a lot. You're more liberal than I am, but I get a kick out of you. I really...
Well, thank
you. Listen to you every day.
Oh, good. Well, thank you, Vince. That's very kind of you, and I'm glad you called back.
Okay, take care.
Okay,
bye now.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, let's see. We got someone calling in, from California, 805 area code. Who's this?
Hi, this is Dan from Goleta.
Hey, Dan. How's Goleta over there?
Well, we're starting to get a little bit of rain for the first time in about 7 months.
Right, you need it. And I heard there was snow there, too. Is it snowing?
No, that would be more up north. We're
kind of
like around Santa Barbara.
Right, yep.
Anyway, it's kind of sad, actually, because this is like particularly like this huge storm, and it's like supposed to be like a quarter inch of rain.
And then you're going to get mudslides, right, from the fires.
It's just like it's so overhyped.
Yep.
But anyway, I want to thank you, Chris. Thanks to you, we started subscribing to Disney for a month.
Uh-huh.
And we're watching the Beatles.
Isn't it great?
Oh, man. Unreal.
So glad.
I'm old enough to remember when they were on Ed Sullivan. And see, at the time, everything was so Beatles, you're overwhelmed.
Right.
And so I kind of tuned them out because you're looking for other music to listen to because it's like, okay, they're going another number one. And I didn't start to appreciate them until the White Album time.
And so
now when I listen to the earlier stuff, see, now I can appreciate it because I didn't really listen to it then. I tuned it out, and I was listening to, Jefferson Airplane and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so now watching them at work, then you really appreciate it. It's like, oh, my gosh, these guys, wow. You know, and you feel the tension in the studio and everything, and it's like, anyway, so that was a really good suggestion.
Cool. That's the thing. Then, so for anybody else out there, I think it's like $5 a month or something like that, and you don't have to, you can just keep it for a month and
exactly.
watch the Beatles thing and then let it go. So
yeah, that's what we plan to do.
Right.
But then the other thing about Newsom, I read that article too, and it's like, yeah, I've never had any complaints about Newsom as a governor. I mean, he did really good work during the COVID, made sure everybody got mm-hmm. unemployment. Locally here, he managed to get like 100 portables set up in Isla Vista for the homeless people so they could have like their own separate quarters during the COVID thing. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the complaints were, and the whole recall was bogus, you know. But anyway, his move with the guns.
So good.
I wish some other Democratic states would start doing something
right.
like that. Just like, you know, like some of these other, like, you know, New Jersey, New York or something, Massachusetts, some of the places that have these mass shootings. Boy, you know, boy, that would really put the spotlight on what the Supreme Court's done with this Texas fiasco.
Right. I mean, without a doubt. And I would love to see other states. The governor of New York right now is not exactly a liberal. I don't know if Kathy Hochul has this in her.
Yeah. Right.
But she should. I mean, they should do this. The Supreme Court let this stand. So obviously, it's a vehicle they can use.
Give them a taste of their own medicine.
That's right.
Now put them on the spotlight.
That's right.
And if I just what you're saying about these people in the stock trading. Yeah, Feinstein. It's like, you know, it's like, how much money, like,
do you need?
You know, after a point, you know, like in like Musk and Bezos, it's like multi-million. What are you going to do with that money? I mean, you know, they're in their like 60s, 70s, 80s, and they're like multi-billionaires. I mean, you know, and using their position then to like get inside knowledge by trading stocks.
That's what this law is about. And they're violating it. And if they're violating the law, they should be expelled from Congress. It would be one quick way to get rid of Dianne Feinstein, who at 89 years old is thinking about running again.
Oh, are you? No, are you kidding me? She doesn't understand climate. Doesn't understand global warming.
Oh my gosh, she doesn't understand anything anymore.
Anything, exactly. It's like, you know, but you're making money. I mean, you're trading. I mean,
yep.
Anyway, it's disgusting. But anyway, it's like, I wasn't aware of that. The article you read about this.
It just hit.
No, it's disgusting.
Yep.
That's really what got my goat.
Yep.
It's horrible. No,
yes,
anyway,
it is.
Anyway, have a good afternoon.
Okay. Thank you. You too. Good to hear from you,
bye-bye.
Dan. Bye bye. Thanks
you.
For calling. All right. So I saved this last story for. I've got other stuff. We could keep going. I've got. I've got other stuff to talk about, but yeah, I was going to talk about this exodus from cable news. First it was who left? Brian Williams, right, on Thursday night, said goodbye, I'm out of here. Then Chris Cuomo was fired, out of here, bye. I guess Chris Cuomo was first. Chris Cuomo fired, then Brian Williams leaves NBC, and then yesterday Chris Wallace says I'm leaving Fox. Not that I can blame him, but he's going to CNN Plus. So shakeups in the cable news world, just putting it out there. But the thing is, they're not going to come to people like me or Brad Friedman or, any of us who've been doing this work for years and years and years. No, they, whatever. I'm going to move on from that. Just, I thought I would mention it because there's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. Don't know. All right. So one last story. Over the weekend, Anne Rice died. Now, if you're like me, I loved The Interview with the Vampire and the books around it. And, you know, in the early 90s, I was reading these Anne Rice books, and that's when the movies came out. And, you know, I was intrigued by the whole New Orleans thing and all that. So, as many of you know, back about 30 years ago, from 1990 to 94, I produced a big morning radio show in Los Angeles, the Mark and Brian Show. And we both hit LA around the same time, and I got there in 1987, and I worked at KLSX for a while with Phil Hendry, who wasn't Phil Hendry then, but he went on to become to do all the characters and stuff. Worked with him at KLSX, station that just went off the air last week, is now simulcasting an AM news station. Radio, it's so sad. And I worked at another station as well. But now, then I moved in 1990 to KLOS to produce the Mark and Brian Show. And they were doing something different. They were like David Letterman on the radio. They did fun, silly things. They were harmless. You know, they were nice guys just having, they were like overgrown little kids having fun. Well, people would send us stuff. And somebody sent us a box set of these books. They're the Sleeping Beauty books. Now, we know Anne Rice from Interview with the Vampire and Lestat and all those books, right? But she wrote erotica under a pen name. The pen name was A.N. Roquelaire. There's probably some significance there that I don't know. But she wrote these books, and somebody sent us this box set of the trilogy. It was the trilogy of Sleeping Beauty, The Claiming of Sleeping Beauty, Beauty's Revenge, and I forget what the third one was, but there were three of these Sleeping Beauty books. And one day, you know, it was the weekend, I took them home, and I went to the beach, and I brought the books with me, one of the books, I guess the first one, with me to the beach, and I started reading it. And I had a physical reaction because Anne Rice wrote, I mean, these were not, I said erotica, they're pornographic. Oh my goodness. So I'm going to send John Fowler's in the chat room and says, I would listen to M&B every morning. All right. So I'm going to take you back. This was in May of 1993. And I'm kind of embarrassed, but Anne Rice died over the weekend and I got to meet her. And I only got to meet her because she came on the air with us. And sorry, caller, I'm not going to get your call right now because I got to tell the story. So here is a little bit of the conversation around the books and what happened on the beach.
Nicole?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, I mean, we don't want to push. Do you have something to tell us?
Well, no, I told you a story after your little discussion about the beach, the private beach. You know, I went to the beach this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hold on.
I was reading a book. Brian, do you remember somebody gave you a series of books, the Sleeping Beauty books?
Yes, yes.
Okay, written by Anne Rice, right. Who wrote The Interview with the Vampire and all those other things.
Right, now, I love her.
She's creepy cool.
Okay,
I love her. Now, I was in the middle of a book, so you took them home?
Actually, I got a copy of the first one, The Claiming of Sleeping Beauty. She wrote these books under another name.
They're very sexy, very passionate. Yeah.
They are not only sexy and passionate, they are filthy dirty.
Baby, can I borrow one?
Filthy, dirty. Yeah, when I'm done with it. And I'm almost done because I read most of it on the beach on Saturday.
So you were on the beach reading this book Saturday?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And sunning myself. And, I'm very... sexy, filthy, dirty book.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all. Read the book. On the beach.
Nicole?
Uh-huh.
Do you have anything to tell us? What?
Not really. Read the book on the beach. Dirty, really.
Do you have anything dirty to share with the 43?
Well, it was an exciting book, you know.
Tell us all about it.
Crowded beach.
You're reading the book. You're on the beach. Crowded beach. Lots of people around.
Rolled over, you know, get sun on my back.
Still reading?
Still reading.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How was the sand that was beneath you?
You know how sand can be under that blanket.
It can be lumpy.
It can be very, very lumpy.
It can sometimes have ridges
like
and
little
valleys.
Mountains, little teeny little hills.
And you can actually feel them from beneath
when
the
sunning
towel.
So when you're sunning,
right,
especially when you roll over,
right,
sometimes it can be painful.
And sometimes not.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how I just rolled over. Didn't, you know, position myself in any particular way, but boy, there it was.
What?
Oh,
understand. Somebody's trying to call in again, and the calls come in on the same place that the audit. But that was a good place to stop it anyway. So what happened was, obviously, I had a physical reaction to this very erotic book on the beach. And, you know, they were like my brothers. So when we were in commercials or the rare times a song was playing, we would talk. And I told Mark what happened off the air, and he brought it up on the air. So it became a thing. So people started calling in. Some guy said, I was there. I saw it. You didn't see it. But what happened was people were intrigued. And that book, this now 10-year-old erotic book written by Anne Rice under a pseudonym, gets on the LA Times bestseller list. There it is, number 4. I don't know what week this was. I do have it written down somewhere, but it was just a few weeks after this radio show. The Claiming of Sleeping Beauty by A.N. Roquelaire, published by Penguin Books. At the time, it was only $10. What a bargain. So that happened. So it gets on, it gets on the bestseller list. And then here's an article from the Orange County Register. Sleeping Beauty awakens to sexy sales and stores can't keep it in stock. So this obscure book out of nowhere gets on the bestseller list, right? So it was in May that my original experience happened. And then fast forward to October 11th, 1993, and Anne Rice came in and she sat with the guys for an hour and did an interview and took listener calls and everything. And at the very end, this is the, whoops. Oh, I'm still playing that. Hold on. Let me stop that. And then at the very end, whoops. Okay. Did it stop? So this was the end of the interview with Anne Rice.
We're honored that you would take time to stop by and be with us and share with our original 43, who are mostly your fans, to call up and talk directly to you.
And for being so candid with us. You're fun.
Oh, well, thank you. This has been great fun for me. And thank you so much for reading the beauty books on the air and everything that you've done.
Yeah. And the beach.
Appreciate it very, very much.
On the air, on the beach.
And this is
you know
really
how this conversation
like
started? You should know this. This whole Anne Rice thing. We talked about you before, but not in as much detail as it happened. She came in after being having a weekend off.
She being
she
me.
On the beach, and she she brought in the book. In fact, still had sand in it. Laying on the beach.
Claiming her sleeping beauty.
Yeah, laying on the beach reading this. She said that just laying on the beach, just reading the book twice.
Okay.
She had two.
Does the term sand wiener mean anything to you?
She did roll over at one point and find her a hump in the towel. And enjoyed that. But you brought her, and then she came in and talked about it.
And then
the
we
city.
Started reading it on the air.
Oh, that's
city.
Great. That's great.
I had already read the vampire books before I ever picked up one of the Sleeping Beauty books. And as a big fan, I just want to say thank you because you've given me many, many hours of pleasure. Not just on the erotic side, but I love your work.
Have you met Louis?
So I actually have.
All right, thanks.
So that's how the interview ended. By the way, if you are an Anne Rice fan and would like to hear the whole interview and the rest of the whole me embarrassingly admitting what happened, I uploaded both those segments onto a YouTube video that I posted. So the part where I admitted to having a physical reaction to reading this erotica on the beach twice, that whole, and that's about a 15-minute segment, is on there, followed by the hour that Anne Rice spent on the air with us. It's posted on a YouTube video that I just uploaded this afternoon. I will post it with today's show at NicoleSandler.com should anyone want to listen. It was a very interesting interview with Anne Rice. She talked freely and openly about pornography, about and she didn't even try to soft pedal it and call it erotica or feminism, whatever. She called it pornography because it is pornography. And what I caution people against was if you are at all shy, if you are, prudish, if you are don't have an open mind, don't read these books. They are not for the faint of heart, but it's pretty hardcore. And in fact, she wrote one book called Exit to Eden. They talk about it a little bit in the interview too, which was not as hardcore as the Sleeping Beauty books. I found Exit to Eden more accessible for just your average, person who likes erotica and maybe not necessarily hardcore S&M. And Exit to Eden, then they made into a movie with Dana Delaney and Rosie O'Donnell, of all people. And it was horrible. It didn't do justice to the book at all. They took an X-rated book and made it, a low R rating. But anyway, you should, if you're interested in that stuff, I would read Exit to Eden, frankly, if you can find a copy, before the Sleeping Beauty books. And then take it from... But hey, it's up to you, whatever floats your boat. So in my pursuit of things that are not political... to give you enjoyment. If you're a reader and want to read those, check out Anne Rice's erotica. So Exit to Eden, though. Start with that one. Or if you really just want to dive in full steam ahead, the Sleeping Beauty trilogy, starting with The Claiming of Sleeping Beauty. But don't read them to your children. All right. With that, I had videos I was going to play today. I had stuff, and we ran out of time. So this hour flew by. We'll continue tomorrow. Lisa Graves is going to be here tomorrow, too. She's a former deputy attorney general of the United States, worked in the Justice Department. And I want to ask her what's going on with all the stuff that's going on and the Supreme Court and what Gavin Newsom did. So we'll continue tomorrow, and then Will Bunch will be here Wednesday. We got, it's business as usual. So. We're back. Thank you for hanging today. I hope you enjoyed it. you never know what you're going to get here, right? I'm nothing if not honest. All right. Thank you for listening. Think about a pet portrait. It makes a wonderful gift for the pet lovers in your on your holiday list. All right. I'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Thank you for listening. Bye. Okay, that's the end of the show proper. I will leave you with the news, and then, we'll do it again tomorrow. See ya. Thanks. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The death toll is rising after a series of tornadoes tore through several states in the Midwest and South and reduced homes and businesses into piles of rubble late Friday night, early Saturday morning. In Kentucky alone, the death toll is at least 80, and Governor Andy Beshear thinks it'll exceed 100, making this the deadliest tornado in the state's history. Destruction was also reported in Illinois, Arkansas, Missouri, and Tennessee. At least six people died at a collapsed Amazon warehouse in Edwardsville, Illinois. But there might be a glimmer of good news out of Kentucky, where officials now say the death toll could drop as the number killed at the Mayfield Consumer Products candle factory appeared to be fewer than 20, which is good news because that's a lot lower than the 70 initially feared dead. Now on to the Supreme Court, where on Friday we watched helplessly as the court, packed by the former administration with right-wing ultra-partisan hacks, announced that it would allow Texas's six-week abortion ban to remain in effect while allowing challenges to the unconstitutional law to proceed. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom said that Supreme Court ruling that Texas can continue to deputize people to sue abortion clinics left him, quote, outraged. So he decided to use that ruling and similar legal tactics to take on gun control in California.
And if the Supreme Court is going to uphold vigilantes and uphold people putting women's life at risk, then we will use and exercise our rights to advance similar law here in the state of California to protect people's rights against guns and gun violence.
Newsom said he directed his staff to draft a bill that would allow private citizens to seek injunctive relief, quote, against anyone who manufactures, distributes, or sells an assault weapon or ghost gun kit or parts in the state of California. Oh, more like this, please. So the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th Capitol attack released a report Sunday detailing former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows' efforts to help the former guy overturn his election loss. The panel, which will vote Monday on recommending contempt charges against Meadows after he halted his cooperation with the inquiry, described some of the thousands of emails and texts Meadows handed over to the committee, including one email to an unidentified person that said the National Guard would be on hand that day to, quote, protect pro-Trump people. The United States hit another grim milestone on Sunday as the coronavirus-related death toll passed 800,000. This, as public health officials brace for a potential surge of new cases as winter hits and people are spending more time indoors, increasing the risk of infection, all at the same time as the highly infectious Omicron variant continues to spread. More than 450,000 people have died after contracting COVID-19 this year. That's more than died in all of 2020, despite the widespread availability of vaccines and new treatments. The highly transmissible Delta variant drove a summertime surge and continues to account for nearly all COVID deaths. And in case you are wondering, most of those dying now are not vaccinated. The U.S. has the highest COVID death rate in the group of seven wealthiest nations in the world. Maybe it's something in the water. On Thursday night, Brian Williams exited NBC News after 28 years, the last five spent hosting MSNBC's 11th Hour.
The reality is, though, I will wake up tomorrow in the America of the year 2021, a nation unrecognizable to those who came before us and fought to protect it, which is what you must do now. They've decided to burn it all down with us inside. That should scare you to no end as much as it scares an aging volunteer fireman.
But we knew that exit was coming, as it had been announced a few weeks ago. But everyone was surprised by Chris Wallace's announcement Sunday at the end of what now will be known as his final episode hosting Fox News Sunday.
After 18 years, I have decided to leave Fox. I want to try something new, to go beyond politics to all the things I'm interested in. I'm ready for a new adventure, and I hope you'll check it out. And so, for the last time, dear friends, that's it for today. Have a great week. And I hope you'll keep watching.
Former Fox News anchor Chris Wallace announcing his surprise departure from the network at the end of his last show. Shortly after that, CNN announced that Wallace will join CNN Plus. That's their new streaming venture launching early 2022. Wallace was tapped to host a show featuring interviews with newsmakers, quote, across politics, business, sports, and culture. All right. And finally, Time Magazine has announced its choice for its 2021 Person of the Year. And right now, as I do every year, I feel it's my duty to explain that the Time Magazine's Person of the Year is not an award, nor is it an honor. It's simply the individual or group that the magazine's editorial staff believes most shaped the previous 12 months. For better or for worse. So keeping that in mind, Time Magazine's 2021 Person of the Year is Elon Musk. Really? Because he's rich? Wow. Boy, that says something. I'm not sure what, but it certainly says something. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.